Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, as always, Bob, it's fun to be with you here on this rainy Minnesota summer day, and it's going to be fun to get into some theology here.
Yeah, I love this section. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Last week, we were talking about some important topics like common grace.
Yeah.
And you might be in a kind of a nice place, or you might be in like a really bad one.
Right.
Externally. But that's not what it's talking about here. You're not moving from one location on the earth to another one.
Right.
In order to go from darkness to light. Yeah. You're changing spiritual domains.
Amen.
Places seem really dark, and they are.
Right.
Others seem very nice.
Right.
Which they are, according to common grace. But if you're unconverted,
yeah,
you're in the domain of darkness, whether you know it or not.
Amen.
So and that's what we talked about last week.
You had mentioned, Bob, a very good point. You had mentioned prior to us starting the recording that the issue isn't a geographical one. The issue is a relational one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's relational. Okay. And so that will bring us into something now that's very important. We're still on verse 13.
Yeah.
Where it said he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son.
Wow.
So rescued and transferred.
Right.
Okay. So these are relational issues.
Right.
Okay, before we may have been just nice people and going about ordinary life.
Yeah.
Not heinous criminals.
Right.
And a lot of people are deceived into thinking that means they're okay with God.
Right, right.
Okay? But that's not the issue. The issue is what kingdom are we in?
Right, that's
are
the
we
issue.
In the kingdom of darkness or are we in the kingdom of light? Yeah. And what determines that is our relationship to Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, Bob, there's so many things that are tied up into this concept. One of them is the already not yet concept. And what that really means is that already we have this kingdom that we become partakers in through faith in Jesus Christ. But the not yet is we don't fully experience, or maybe another way to say it, it's not fully actualized. And many people on the planet today don't realize that this kingdom really exists. They think, well, that's just in the imagination of these people who call themselves Christians. But the kingdom is being built. In fact, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2:6 that we were seated with him in the heavenly places. And so positionally, the moment we trusted in Jesus Christ, it's as if we have our reservations in this kingdom. But it really, the inauguration of the kingdom, or the time when we actually experience the full consequences of it, is waiting for the second advent of Christ.
Yeah, the resurrection.
Amen.
The eternal reign of Christ.
That's right.
And all these things. And there's going to be a judgment, and then it'll be obvious
right.
what kingdom people were in.
Exactly. Then it's obvious. A great way of
some
putting it.
Some people are cast into the lake of fire, and some are brought into the eternal bliss of being with the Master.
Right.
Forever and ever.
Yes.
And so this needs to be settled now.
Yeah. That's right.
And so don't go by what it looks like.
Mm.
There are people out there who are atheists who will assure you that you don't need to be religious to be a good person.
Right.
And they say things like, I've worked a job, had a good career, I love my grandkids.
Right.
You know, I have a decent, happy life.
Yeah.
One guy even told me his life got way better when he renounced Christ. Okay.
And you know what? And, to
and they're just comparing
yeah.
one person on the earth to another.
That's right.
And you see Christians who are struggling with difficulties.
Sure.
And they maybe can't have a great job or something for whatever reason.
Right.
They may have problems.
Right.
But that's not what this is about.
Yes.
This is about whose authority are we under.
Yes.
Because this is called the authority of darkness
yes.
or the kingdom of his beloved son.
Amen.
And so you have an either or. Now, last week we talked about Doug Padgett and his binary.
He doesn't like either or.
the emergence, they don't like either or.
No, that's
but,
right.
But they have problems with the Bible.
Right. You know, it's interesting, Bob. I was teaching through the book of Mark, and one of the parables of the seed that's growing because of the spread word is a parable that talks about this kingdom of God being built. And the problem is, to the unregenerate, it's imperceptible. They don't see it. In fact, none of us can see it, whether it be regenerate or unregenerate, but it really is occurring. And in fact, Jesus says this, and this is Mark 4:26. He said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He does not know how." And then he says, "The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And so what Jesus is describing there through this agricultural metaphor is that there's a lot going on that the farmer can't see. It's beneath the ground.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, this plant becomes visible in its harvest time. And in the same way, the word of God is preached. God brings people to faith and repentance in his son. And they become partakers in this kingdom that, again, isn't perceptible to man, but one day it will be. And that's what you were just alluding to, is one day this kingdom will be seen. Jesus Christ will reign on earth, and those who are with him with resurrected bodies, etc., while the rest of those who had rejected him, no matter how fruitful their lives may have been in business or how good a person they thought they were, they're going to end up in the place of eternal torment.
Exactly. And so Jesus said that.
Yeah, amen.
And so we need to believe it. Now, a lot of Christian organizations function as if none of this were true.
Yeah, right.
How often in my life as a Christian, which is now nearly 45 years,
right,
have I heard fundraisers where the preacher is saying that he wants to acquire property and build a building for the kingdom.
Right.
Okay, so now the kingdom is gaining or losing property.
Right.
Depending on if it's owned by this Christian.
Sure, right, good point.
But that's not what this is about.
Right, that's right.
The kingdom of God on the earth is people under the reign of Christ.
Amen.
If they own a house, fine, they're a citizen of whatever secular domain they're in.
Sure.
Municipality, county, state, however it's laid out.
Right.
But that house isn't more the kingdom of God than the one right next to it.
Right, exactly.
And this preacher isn't building the kingdom by building buildings.
Right, that's right.
And amen. I would not give a penny to that until this guy repented of his bad theology. You know, dear preacher, if you want people in the kingdom, you don't gain that by having property in a building necessarily.
Right.
If you really want that, preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. People will be transferred from the authority of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son.
Wow.
And they'll be in that kingdom wherever they go on the earth.
Amen.
Whether they have a building or they don't have a building.
Oh, Bob, that's so exciting.
And so don't listen to these false teachers on TV. They don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
Because we have this passage. He's rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son.
Wow.
Didn't say anything about property.
Right. Right. The property comes when the king comes. He brings it.
Yeah. In the meantime, I'm not saying it's a sin to have a building.
No.
But if
you
do, don't call it the kingdom of God.
Right. Yeah, it reminds me of the Jehovah Witnesses. They always have the Kingdom Hall.
Oh, they got Kingdom Hall, yeah. Well, we don't need our version of it.
That's right. Amen.
So it says we're rescued, as we said last week. Now, to be in this unrescued state looks a lot of different ways.
Right.
There's a lot of different kind of lost sinners.
Yep.
All needing rescue.
That's right.
Whether it looks like it to us or not.
Right.
And when we're rescued not only from eternal damnation,
yeah,
not only from having our minds filled with darkness,
yeah,
but we're rescued from Satan's rule over our life.
Yeah, amen.
And this is a global thing, not just a micro.
Right.
Now, over the years,
yeah,
I've written articles and interacted with people
right.
concerning deliverance ministries.
Right.
Okay? And there's been a debate off and on. It fires up, and then it kind of goes away, and then it comes back. It's always debated. Can Christians have demons?
Oh, right. You hear
and
that
should
off.
People be casting demons out of Christians?
Right.
And for years, I've been saying, this passage should be our information.
Right, that's right.
Okay? And so if you've been rescued from the domain, the authority of darkness, and transferred into the kingdom of his son, okay, you're under the authority of Christ, whatever the demons are doing or not doing.
Amen, that's exactly
okay?
right.
Okay, so it doesn't make any sense to have these deliverance ministries.
Right, right.
Okay, because this is, happens at conversion.
Yes.
You go from one authority to another, from Satan to Christ.
Yes.
And if you are under Christ, Satan can only do to you what Christ gives him permission to do.
Amen. And it's for our good. Whatever.
And if he does, remember last week we talked about Satan demanding permission to sift Peter.
Yeah, and it was given to him.
Well, it'll be to Peter's ultimate good.
Exactly.
Because Peter's one of the elect.
Amen.
And so we can rest secure in Christ.
Yeah.
And what happens is people start worrying about the demonic.
Yeah.
And seeing signs of it.
Right.
And then they get really tormented. And they'll call all over the world trying to find a preacher who can identify demons and get them to go out.
Sure. But it doesn't hit the main issue.
They're missing the point.
That's right. They have to be saved from Satan's domain.
Exactly. So that's something that we need to learn from this verse.
Amen. You know, Bob, what's interesting is you're saying this. I remember Jesus' prayer. We had talked about this last time, I think, as well. But in John 17:15, Jesus intercedes on behalf of believers ahead of time. And he says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one.
Good cross-reference.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that is some have looked at that passage and I think wrongly attributed that passage to being that Jesus praying that we don't sin. So Jesus prays so that we wouldn't sin, we wouldn't fall into temptation. But it's more grand than that. One of the proofs, by the way, that Jesus is not just praying generically that we wouldn't sin, is seen in the fact that the very next chapter you have Peter deny Christ. And so it would be very obvious that this prayer didn't succeed. But no, his prayer does succeed. God does answer this prayer because the issue isn't whether we fall or lapse into sin as Christians, because Christians do sin. In fact, in 1 John we see, if we say that we have no sin, we, believers, deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Amen.
But the issue is that the domain of darkness, as you're pointing out, once we're in the kingdom of Christ, that domain of darkness would never encroach upon us again.
We would not be brought back into that domain.
Exactly.
Now, last week we talked about 1 John 5:19.
Right.
It says that.
Exactly. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one.
Yeah, and yet, the whole world.
Exactly. But okay. The verse prior to that, the evil one doesn't touch us.
So Satan can't just come along and grab me and haul me back into his kingdom.
Exactly. Isn't that beautiful? Wow.
Yeah, because we're safe in Christ.
Amen.
And so I think of the bad teaching that I had back in the 70s, and I was responsible for some of it. And I've written about this, and I many, many years ago repented of it.
Yeah.
But we used to say, there's this passage in Ephesians, give no place to the evil one.
Oh, sure.
So we'd tell people that if they went and sinned, the demons would come back.
Okay.
So they'd come to get somebody to cast out the demons. Then they're told, now you better go out there and not sin. Because if you do, they'll come right back.
Sure.
Because you gave them place.
Wow.
These poor people were tormented.
Yeah.
Mercilessly tormented. I finally saw that what was wrong with that.
Yeah.
And this verse was important.
Wow.
Okay. And Watchman Nee was the one that got us thinking that way.
Yeah.
But it isn't right.
Wow.
Because you're either deceiving yourself that you didn't sin.
Yeah.
Right. Or tormenting yourself that you did.
Yeah, good point. Very good point, yeah.
But we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Continually cleanses us from sin. The work of redemption in the life of the Christian,
yeah,
once we're transferred out of the domain of darkness, mm-hmm, into the kingdom of his beloved Son, is something that continually is at work.
Yes.
Now, we can say and do say that we should be fed the pure Word of God.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit comes to us through the Word.
Amen.
And we will grow.
Right, right.
Okay, it's possible to not grow as we should because we're listening to the wrong sources.
That's right.
But you're not falling in and out of the kingdom of God.
Amen. You know, that's a really helpful category, Bob. And in fact, you do see a lot of warnings, for example, in Scripture about apostasy. We see this in Hebrews 6, etc. But what's interesting is if we get our theology and our categories right, a lot of times the Bible will call us to be on guard for apostasy. What we have to realize is that true believers, once they're secure in Christ's kingdom, they will never leave by God's power and his grace.
He'll keep us.
But he does use warnings as one of the means by which he does keep us in the camp. And so those aren't mutually exclusive, are they?
No. And I'm willing to even say what the consequence would be if someone were to.
Right, exactly.
Well, we mentioned that the other day, but you know, yeah, if you renounce Christ, blaspheme the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
and swear allegiance to Satan.
Right.
And do everything you can.
Right.
To renounce the work of God.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to go to hell.
Right. It's evidence you were never in Christ's camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But God is going to keep true believers from doing that.
Amen. Very good. Yes.
Yeah. That guy that emailed me and said he's been happier since he renounced Christ.
Oh.
He used to be a preacher.
Oh, boy.
And he says, please don't pray for me and don't send me anything. Or one of your members has been trying to talk to him. He said, he's well-meaning, but it's a waste of time. I'm happy in this state. There's an apostate.
Right. There you go. That's
they went out from us because they were not of us.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
But we don't just glibly take for granted that everything's okay. We cling to the Lord.
Amen.
We want to be with the Lord.
That's right.
We want our minds renewed by the Word of God.
Yes.
We want the light of the gospel to fill our hearts and minds.
Yes.
As Christians. And we pray. And I was just looking at the Lord's Prayer, one of the lines in the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew 6:13. And do not lead us into temptation.
Wow.
But deliver us from evil. Okay. And literally, in the Greek, it says the evil one.
Right. It's probably a substantive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the evil one, right?
Deliver us from the evil one.
Yes. Wow.
There we have the prayer of the Christian.
Yeah.
We don't rest on our laurels and say, well, bring all the temptation you can. I'm strong. It won't bother me.
Right, right.
We don't think that way.
Right. That's a good point.
Because we realize it was simply by God's grace that us weak sinners,
amen,
found redemption.
That's right.
So the Lord's Prayer is, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us,
yes,
from the evil one.
Wow. There's our life of faith right
there. Yes, because he's always trying to lie to us.
Right, yeah.
And that's the real battle.
Yeah.
It isn't where the demons are. The demons are real, by the way.
Right, yeah. Exactly. We're not denying their existence.
Yeah,
and
there are principalities and powers.
Yeah.
There are people trying to rearrange the cosmic furniture,
right,
as if they could get rid of the principality over some certain city.
Right.
And I've written about that. If you just go back through all the past issues, they're arrogant.
That's right.
It's God's business how he draws out the boundaries of the nations.
Amen.
And the civil rulers are there on the earth. But there's principalities and powers.
Right.
They're not going to go away or change locale because a bunch of Christians yell at them.
That's really well said. You know, you think about how important this distinction is between geography and the relational issue. And let me just give an example. Some years ago, I was talking about the Holy Spirit. And in fact, the message I think I was giving was about dichotomy, that human beings are primarily material and immaterial, body and soul. And this one person objected. They say, well, you have to be a trichotomist because unless you're body, soul, and spirit, the Holy Spirit has nowhere to enter when you become a believer. So their reasoning was, if you don't have a third part to you, a spirit, therefore the Holy Spirit can't enter.
Watchman Nee, I remember that.
Yeah, anatomical sanctification, right? Yeah. Right. Well, my response to that is, look, when you look at the Old Testament, for example, God's omnipresence didn't cease just because he had a relationship with Israel. In other words, God's spirit was where the Philistines were. He's everywhere. However, relationally, he only gave favor to his chosen people.
Yeah, well, look at the people that were in Babylon, like Daniel.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So the point is, when we have Jesus Christ by faith, the Holy Spirit has a new relationship with us. So the issue isn't geographically
it's not spatial,
right?
Yes, it's not that the Holy Spirit gets into this part of us.
Right, he's in my kidney.
All of it.
Exactly.
Well, they say the Holy Spirit's sort of taken over your spirit.
Right, right.
And the soul is the division. It's either attuned to the spirit, attuned to the outer world through the body.
Yes, exactly.
And the body's kind of the problem.
Right, so the issue is then relational, and I think that it's apropos for this discussion because the issue isn't so much geography now. Yes, there is a real geographical kingdom that will come. In fact, Revelation 5:10, we see that we will reign upon the earth. But for now, the kingdom isn't about geography. It's about a relationship through faith. And so that's what we're trying to convey to people. Don't let the appearances of things fool you. That's what I love when you say, Bob, don't just rearrange the cosmic deck chairs. It won't do you any
good. It's not our job anyhow.
No, it's not our job.
And we're assured in the book of Ephesians that Christ is above all of that.
Right, right.
And we're directly related to Christ.
Amen.
So it says he rescued us from the domain of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So that's what we need to know.
Wow.
So way back 30, 40 years ago, I started preaching on this.
Right.
And that was so much more liberating to people than this Watchman Nee anatomical salvation.
Sure.
Or sanctification.
Right.
And I could never figure out what was my soul and what
was my spirit. We're not equipped to know.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of
very
confusing.
Good.
So it's the Son of his love. Hmm. Here's what it says. And last week we talked about Exodus 6, about these promises of redemption.
Yes.
That are repeated at the Lord's Supper.
Aren't those beautiful?
Yeah. And there's this cup of redemption. Well, here's something else that really is from the Exodus, and that's Exodus 19:4.
Oh, right.
Okay, let me read that. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself.
Wow.
Okay, so when we are rescued from slavery in the domain of darkness, we're brought to God himself.
Amen.
And the ultimate covenant promise in the Old Testament is, I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I will dwell in your midst.
Wow.
So to be a people of God is to be in this relationship with Yahweh, the creator of the universe, who called forth out of bondage in Egypt a people. And this informs us about the promises under the new covenant.
Wow.
And Jesus alludes to this in Matthew 26 at the Last Supper.
Wow.
Okay,
that's so beautiful.
So we come to God.
Amen.
And when he has us, he will keep us.
Right.
So, dear,
that's exciting.
Beloved saints, don't be put into bondage in your mind by these fear mongers.
Right, right. Very good point.
They're telling you that you need some sort of a Christian shaman to get the demons to go here or there. And there are people who make a lot of money
exactly
doing that.
Right. And like you said, Bob, they're just rearranging the cosmic deck chairs. Yeah. That's all they're and doing. They're not changing.
If you're transferred into the kingdom of His beloved Son, that's what you need to know.
Exactly. So the issue isn't where we are geographically, or where what we have to do as far as our occupation, who we are demographically, what our race is. The only thing that matters is our relationship to the Son. In fact, I love the fact that he says he's transferred us to the kingdom of the Son of his love. And this gets back to the original promise that the kingdom would be given to the seed, that is the promised Son. So if you think about sons and daughters God had created in the beginning when he created man, but because of sin and our rebellion against him, he is going to bring a new humanity through Christ. And what's so beautiful is early on in Genesis 13:15, he starts to talk about this one-time geographical kingdom that will one day come. He says, Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see I will give to you and to your seed forever.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. Now, this is something that we don't have yet. And Abraham was looking forward to that day. You and I are still looking forward to that day. But what's interesting is here you have this promise in the Son, the seed of the woman is going to come crush the serpent. Well, Paul makes it a very explicit point in Galatians 3:16 when he says that this seed wasn't referring to the many, but rather to the one. And the reason that's important is because when we trust upon Jesus Christ, we now have a relationship. We're with him. And because we're with him, we're adopted sons and daughters. And as Jesus said, a slave does not remain in the house, but a son, and by implication,
and
a daughter.
So we have an
inheritance. We have an inheritance. We're sons and daughters now.
Well, that's not the only place in the Old Testament that promises the kingdom to the Son.
Yes.
We're going to go to 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16.
Beautiful.
So I'm glad you brought up Genesis.
Yes.
Because now we're going to fast forward in the Old Testament.
Amen.
And see again. So we can see what Paul's alluding to here.
Yes, great idea.
You know, there are some who would say the Son will never have a kingdom on the earth.
Right.
Because they think this has all been canceled or abrogated or whatever.
Yeah, how sick is that?
Well, I don't believe it. A lot of people believe that, but
right.
I don't.
Yeah.
Well, let's just read what it says.
Right.
Starting with 2 Samuel 7:12, when your days are completed and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant, that word there, seed.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
After you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom, and he will build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, let's make a point right there. There's a double reference prophecy.
Yes.
The near and the far.
Yes.
So Solomon builds this house.
Right.
The temple.
Yeah.
But the one whose throne is forever is Messiah.
Amen.
Okay, let's go on. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. Now back to Solomon. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men. Back to, the near and the far.
Yes.
Messiah bears the strokes.
Right.
But he committed no iniquity.
Right.
Solomon actually did the iniquity.
He did, right. Okay, great distinction.
So everyone.
Yes.
Verse 15. But my loving kindness will not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you.
Yes.
This is all addressed to David.
Yeah.
But look at verse 16.
Yes.
Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever.
Wow.
Your throne shall be established forever. So the Son, the greater Son of David, who is Messiah, will have an eternal kingdom.
Yes.
Now, just in case you might think, you millennialists are reading into this.
Right.
Later, David says to the Lord, you have spoke to me about the distant future.
Exactly. In fact, he says it right here, Bob, in verse 19. He says, and yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come. And so let me just stop there. What you're saying, Bob, is right. Even David understood that this promise wasn't just the near term, but it was the far-term promise to the Messiah. In fact, he goes on to say in that same verse, this is 2 Samuel 7:19, He says, and this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And the term instruction there is literally Torah.
I know. And wow. Dear saints, some of you are probably amillennialists. And so you think that we're just being fanciful here and
sure.
reading things in. But I understand church tradition has a strong hold.
Yes.
In a lot of places.
Right.
But just think about the implications of a son being promised a kingdom.
Amen.
And the promises made to Abraham. And think, if you will, please, about Romans 11.
Yes.
Where it says that Israel is beloved for the sake of the patriarchs.
Right, right.
Okay, so that would give us a clue that God is still thinking about those promises even after Israel rejected Messiah.
Wow.
So yes. This is for yet future. But for now, I think we're all going to agree on this.
Yeah.
We're transferred out of the domain of darkness into this kingdom.
Yes.
That belongs to the Son.
Yes.
The beloved Son, the only begotten of the Father.
Right.
Full of grace and truth.
Right.
This one who's been given a kingdom.
Right.
As was promised to David, whose seed would inherit this promise.
Amen. You know, that's
it makes the Bible come alive.
It does. It does. You know, here's an analogy. I was just thinking as you're saying that, Bob. Think of the first advent. What happens during the first advent, that is prior to Christ's second advent, some might call it the church age, whatever you call it, the age that we're living in now, in a sense, you can think about it as the time in which we get our reservations. You get your reservations for the kingdom by faith in Christ.
The future one, but we're already entered a spiritual one.
Exactly. And that's why, you know, he says that you've been seated in the heavenly places with him.
Amen.
In Christ. And the reason that's so significant is we know our reservation is there. But at the second advent, the geography that you were just talking about, that there's really a kingdom, and it's really over the land of Israel, and it's really over the entire world that this reign will come.
A worldwide kingdom.
Exactly. It really will come to fruition.
Amen.
Yeah.
We have to tell you what the Bible says.
Amen. That's right. Well, Bob, this is so exciting. I know we could go on, and we'll get to it next week.
Next week, we'll start in verse 14.
That sounds wonderful. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We both want to remind you here that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, I sure enjoy talking about these great promises.
So do I.
Yeah, and thank you also for helping us see all these pitfalls that have ensnared people over the ages.
Well, unfortunately, I got into a few myself.
Right. Well, God is using you to keep us clear from them. Well, we want to remind you that you can stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.